John chapter 21. I'm reading from the very familiar King James translation, which indeed has stood the test of time, and we begin our reading in verse 18. John chapter 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, says Jesus to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, but which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we examine the things that have been written, by thy Holy Spirit, the divine teacher, thou wilt speak to our hearts in unmistakable terms. We have many and varied needs here this morning. Any one of us is insufficient to address these needs, but thou, the living God, through the living Word of God, can meet every need. And we pray that thou wouldst do that this morning. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord Jesus has called upon us to follow him. And that's the subject of our message this morning, as you note by the title. In the outline you'll see we have suggested that we should follow him enduringly. That is, right up to the very end and through all that lies between. And even should that end be an end of martyrdom, as it was for Peter, we should follow him enduringly. We should follow him exclusively. Though none should join me, we have just been singing, still I will follow. We should follow him expectantly, because as we follow him, it is very possible, I believe it is probable, that the most of us as we follow him will suddenly be called home to meet him, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the conclusion of the gospel in the last two verses. Peter was to follow Jesus in a life of fellowship, first of all. We should follow him enduringly, and as such, Peter was to follow Jesus in a life of fellowship. Just keep your finger here. Turn back to John chapter 1. You will notice something interesting. I hadn't noticed it till I studied for this message. The gospel begins with an emphasis on following Jesus. The gospel ends with an emphasis upon following Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? In John chapter 1 then, in verse 37, let's read verse 35, the next day John was there again, John the Baptist, with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." It is clear to see then that the gospel begins with Jesus calling several various individuals to follow him. To follow him, I suggest, first of all, in a life of fellowship. For actually, Jesus called upon these first disciples to come and to spend time with him. "Where are you staying?" they said. Jesus said, "Come, follow me and I will show you." And so they spent a wonderful day with the Lord Jesus. I wonder when's the last time that we spent a wonderful day with the Lord Jesus, or perhaps even just an hour, or maybe even, was it just 10 minutes? Come, follow me, spend some time with me. And so for those disciples, they had spent 3 wonderful years following him in intimate fellowship and in a close discipleship relationship. Follow Jesus into a life of fellowship. And then in Luke's gospel and the other synoptic gospels, we are called not only to follow Jesus into a life of fellowship, but into a life of self-denial. Let me read for you from Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Follow me into a life of self-denial. Follow me, Peter, even to the end of your life when you will lay down that life in martyrdom. Follow me into a life of fellowship. Follow me into a life of self-denial. Follow me even, perhaps, to martyrdom. That's what it was for Peter. You remember that when Jesus had spoken to the disciples about his going away, let me read this for you in John 13 and verse 36, Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going," he was going to the cross, "you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." So Jesus was going to the cross, to the ultimate giving of himself. And Peter wanted to follow Jesus to that cross then, but he failed so miserably in that night to be ready to do that, if you remember, denying that he even knew the Lord. Jesus said, "Although you are not going to follow me to martyrdom now, Peter, you will follow me to martyrdom later on." So Peter was called to follow Jesus into a life of fellowship, a life of self-denial, a life of martyrdom. We too are called upon to follow Jesus into a life of fellowship, into a life of self-denial. It may be, or it may not be, into a life of martyrdom. Now, by following Jesus unto death, Peter was to glorify God. Notice that, if you will, in verse 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. So if we follow Jesus, it may be that we will follow him to death, to some form of death. It may be, on the other hand, as we shall presently see this morning, that he shall interrupt our journey with him and catch us home to heaven in the rapture of the church. But the thing I'm interested in at this point is that Peter was to follow him into a death that was to glorify God. We often think of living to glorify God. Peter was not only to live to glorify God, as we are to live to glorify Him, but we are also to die to glorify God. How can I die to glorify God? Well, first of all, by being ready for death. That's the first way in which I glorify God. Even the strongest hearted of men and women, when they face the specter of death, are filled with apprehension and with fear. But for the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, he is able to say with the psalmist, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We will glorify God in our death if we are prepared for that death. Are you prepared for death? It's not a very pleasant subject to consider, is it? And yet I think it's a subject we all should consider. Supposing that I did not have long to live. Supposing that I didn't even realize that today would be my last day. Suddenly in some accident, some tragic occurrence, my life would be taken from me. Am I ready to die? We will glorify God in our death if we are ready and prepared for it. I think back in the days when I was in the military in World War II and over across the seas, one of the fellows in my outfit and my small squad was a fellow by the name of Steve Karwacki. Many times I shared with this boy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and he evidenced some interest, but to my knowledge, did not come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At least I know this. He never openly professed and confessed the name of Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. I well remember when we were ready to jump off at the Siegfried Line, and for about 3 hours, from about midnight on, just about this time in the year it was, we pounded the Siegfried Line with artillery of all kinds, from mortar shells right on up to the heavy guns. And then we jumped off and pierced the line. And then there ensued a rat race, if you will, to the Rhine River. But after we had punctured the line that night, everybody was weary and tired. We had an opportunity to rest before moving on again. And I remember lying down on the ground, and Steve Karwacki was just beside me. And we talked about things a little bit, and then both fell asleep. After a little bit, I awakened, and for some reason unknown to me, I just felt I wanted to get up and walk around and move around and stretch a little bit. So I got up and did so. And it moved about 50 yards, I suppose, away from that place when suddenly there was a familiar swish and then an explosion and a shell right to the spot where I had been lying. Steve Karwacki right beside me, lying in that spot. And I rushed back. And there he was, passed into eternity, peacefully sleeping, but now the blood coming from his eyes and his nose and his mouth, gone to meet his Maker. Was he ready? I don't know. Are you ready? Jesus said that Peter should glorify God in his death. Is that the way you will die, to glorify God? Or will it be otherwise? In contrast, quite a number of years ago now, I sat down beside a cancer patient in the terminal phases of the illness. And the gentleman said to me, "Dave, I want you to take my funeral." And I told my wife about it. And he said, "This is what I want you to include in my funeral." And item by item, he shared with me the hymns that he wanted to be sung. He shared with me the passage of Scripture that he wanted to be read. And he shared with me how he wanted me to share with the people that assembled, as he carefully went over his own personal conversion to Jesus Christ, and how he had opened his heart and life to the Savior, and that he knew that the moment that he passed from this life, He was going to pass into the presence of the Lord who loved him and who died for him. He was ready to glorify God in his death. Are you ready to glorify God in your death? Now, secondly, we may glorify God in our death not only by being ready for it, but by patiently enduring its pains. I've seen many people die. And I'm happy to say that as I've seen many, many Christians die, they have patiently endured sometimes the long, hard pains of deteriorating bodily condition. And as we are able to live and die and handle death in that way, with thanksgiving upon our lips, with trust in God as the spirit of our lives, being able to minister to others, even from our bed as we pass from this life, we are able to glorify God. The story is told of John Wesley in days when he was being roundly criticized because of his ministry in England, which was causing an upheaval, both socially and ecclesiastically. And criticism was coming in thick and fast. Wesley turned to another and said, "Well, there's one thing. At any rate, our people die well. Our people die well." Do you die well? Will you die well? Are you able to handle what lies ahead of you? Jesus told Peter that when he was young, he was able to do what he wished, go where he wanted. But the day was coming when he wouldn't be able to call the shots, as we say, when others would take him, when he would be bound, when others would lead him to that which he would not normally wish to go to. That is a death of martyrdom. It mentions here the stretching forth of the hands, perhaps even suggested martyrdom by crucifixion. And the traditional story, of course, is that Peter was crucified upside down according to his own request. Are we ready for the pains and the deterioration of our physical frames? I ask you, as a Christian, are you ready to glorify God in the days that lie ahead as you perhaps will pass through the valley? And then we may glorify God not only by being ready for death and by patiently enduring its pains, but by testifying to others through it. Many have been the hospital bed or the terminal bed of a patient that has been literally a pulpit for God. Many, many has been the situation where, like Samson of old, more was done through the death than was done through the life. Just this week, I was at one of those eating meetings I had spoken of down at the other end of the state. And one of my friends there was late for the occasion, and when he arrived, I was kidding him about it. And he said, "Well, Dave," he said, "I was at a funeral this afternoon, and I could only just now got away." Of course, all my kidding went aside. He said it was a young man in our fellowship, 55 years of age, 2 years in terminal cancer situation. But he said, "You know this, that man was used of God in those 2 years in a way that he never was used in the whole rest of his life. Even the nurses in the hospital on their days off would come in to visit with this man that he might share with them his faith and joy and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ." We may glorify God by being ready for it, by patiently enduring its pains, and by testifying through it. By the way, perhaps our death will not be expected. Perhaps it will be sudden and unexpected. If we are going to have all of these things be true of us in such a kind of death, then we must be living for God day by day, moment by moment, not knowing when that terminal point might come. Peter was to follow Jesus enduringly, even to a martyr's death. You are to follow him through days that will be difficult, perhaps, as well as happy days, are we ready to follow Jesus in that way? Secondly, he was to follow Jesus exclusively. And on your outline, this section should be expanded to include verse 22. Verses 20 to 22. He should follow Jesus exclusively. I say this because there is a danger in turning back from following Jesus, in turning around from following Jesus, in turning to the side from following Jesus. No wonder it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that we should be looking steadfastly unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, with fixed eyes, we should follow him, not taking our eyes off of him for anything or anyone. We must follow him exclusively because others are following too. Notice in verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And I suggest not only he was following them, but the other disciples too, because they heard what was going on and a rumor began to circulate, as you remember, that John was not going to die. So we must follow Jesus exclusively and very specifically and very definitely for ourselves. Others are following too. And they may be watching how we follow. And again, they may have different, as we shall see in a moment, different ways in which they are to follow the Lord Jesus. He may lead them differently than he is leading us. I suggest that now. Others have different callings. They will follow in different ways. Now see, this comes out in connection with John. Peter, when he asked about John, what about him, Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return. So on. So John, perhaps, was being given the expectation and hope that he might follow Jesus until the very return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter specifically was told that that would not be for him, that he would follow Jesus unto death. The trouble with looking around at others as we follow Jesus and others are following him is that God has called each one of us to a different ministry and to a different pathway. And sometimes we get disturbed about that. And why does the Lord have to lay this on me? Why can't I have the same kind of a life pattern as some other Christian? The important thing is that each one has a different calling of the Lord. And God's leadership for each Christian is particular and specific. But as I say again, we always have difficulty in hearing the Lord's word to us, to me particularly. You follow me. Now you notice that we have an emphasis here in verse 22 over and above what we have in verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says to Peter, just follow me. But when we come to verse 22, he says, you, and in the original text, the you is with emphasis. You must follow me. Never mind what John is going to be doing. Never mind about Andrew. Never mind about Thomas. Peter, I have called you to follow me specifically, and I've told you you're going to follow me to a martyr's death. You follow me in the way in which I have told you to follow me. As I say, we have a great problem with this. We're always thinking of someone else. Even as we sit here sometimes, we think, boy, I hope so-and-so is in the congregation this morning because they really need that message. And we fail to realize that we may need that message. The Word of God is like a mirror. The Bible tells us it's like a mirror. The trouble is, with an ordinary mirror, in an ordinary situation, we look in the mirror and we should see who? Ourselves. But the fantastically weird thing about it is, when we as Christians look into the Word of God, we don't see ourselves, we see somebody else. Just like a hillbilly I heard of not too long ago. And for the first time, he came across a mirror. And as he looked into the mirror, this hillbilly said, why, there's a picture of dear old Pappy. As he looked into the mirror. And so he wanted to preserve that picture of dear old Pappy, his father. And so he took the mirror and went to his bed that night and going to bed and put it in under the mattress to preserve that mirror, that picture of dear old Pappy. And he climbed into bed, and the next morning he got off to do his chores or whatever they were. And his wife got out of bed and she went and got that mirror out of there. She saw him put it in. She looked in that mirror, and her eyes filled with alarm, big as saucers, and she said, "That's that old hussy he's been running around with." So you see, each one of them, instead of seeing themselves, saw someone else. And that's exactly the problem we have. The Lord said to Peter, "Peter, you follow me." And so Peter started to step or two. Then he looked around. He said, "Well, Lord, how about them? How about John? What are they going to do?" Jesus very frankly and very bluntly told Peter, "Peter, that's none of your business. What I want you to do is to follow me. You follow me in the life to which I have called you, and let me lead each one of them into the life that I have called them." I trust that God will enable us, each one, to be in touch with our personal Lord and Master, and to be following Him into the pattern of living and into the pattern of working and serving Him that He has for us to do. Now, the third thing we come to this morning is that we should follow Him expectantly, enduringly, exclusively, expectantly. We should follow Him expectantly because He is coming back. Jesus is coming again. Verse 22, "If I want Him to remain alive until I return." The greatest fact of the future, the most sure thing of the days that lie ahead of us, is that Jesus Christ is coming back again. So as we follow Him, unless He has specifically made clear to us, as He did to Peter, that we will suffer a martyr's death, we may, unless having that specific word from the Lord, we may follow Him expectantly looking for Him to come any day, any moment of any day, to greet us and to take us to be with Himself. And not only is He coming again, but His coming is imminent. That is, it may occur at any moment. Now, John had that hope. He didn't, as the rumor went out, he didn't have the words definitely, as Peter had the word that he was going to die a martyr's death. John did not have the definite word that he was not going to die. In other words, he would be here when Jesus returned. But he had the hope that that might be. If I want Him to remain, if I want Him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? So the coming of the Lord Jesus was not only certain, but it was imminent. It might have occurred in the lifetime of John. It might have occurred, as Peter writes in some of his writings, in Peter's lifetime. It might have occurred through all the course of the ages since that time until this moment in time. And it may occur in my lifetime and in your lifetime. It may occur today. He is coming, and His coming is imminent. In the architecture of our area, we have the widow's watch or the captain's watch, or the way we look at it. And there we remember the old seafaring people here, and their husbands were expected back on their sail vessels. And the wives would go there and take their knitting and sewing, I suppose, and spend many hours looking out over the sea, looking for the vessel that would bring their loved one back to them. The coming was not certain. Many times that vessel never appeared. It had suffered shipwreck. Our Savior's coming is certain. but the coming of their husbands was imminent. It could have occurred at any particular point in time, after a year or so, that is, these great rivers, as they went out for a long period of time, and our Lord's return is imminent. And finally, his coming, certain and imminent, however, is unknown. The very hour, the specific day, even the specific year, is not known. In spite of that fact, we have, all through the course of church history, date setting. But the Word of God makes it very clear that we do not know the day nor the hour at which the Lord Jesus may come. Not knowing the day nor the hour, knowing, however, that His coming is certain, knowing that His coming is imminent, it can occur at any time, we should follow till He comes. Follow till He comes. Secondly, we should do business for Him till He comes. Luke chapter 19 and verse 13 says, "Occupy till I come." One of the stories that Jesus told, remember? About the businessman that went away and left his business in the hands of various servants. And he said that on coming back again, he didn't give them the day. It was sure. It was imminent. Could be any day. But it wasn't a definite day. On that basis of facts, Jesus said to them in the parable, he said, "Do business for me till I come. Follow me till I come." Are you following him? He may come today. "Do business for me till I come." Are you serving the Lord Jesus day by day in the ministry that he has given you? Thirdly, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25, as the Lord speaks to the church at Thyatira, the most difficult church in all those seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, a church which was in apostasy, but he said to those in that church who knew him and had loved him and loved him, he said, "Hold fast till I come." In other words, be faithful to me. Hang on to the truth. Live for me. Don't give up your Christian commitment. Hold fast till I come. So the Gospel of John ends with this emphasis upon the coming of the Lord Jesus, as it related here, especially to John, but relates now to us. Follow me till I come. Do business for me till I come. Hold fast till I come. With that, we come down to the final two verses of the Gospel. And the first of them, verse 24, speaks of the reliability of the witness who writes, John. "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true," and we don't know what is meant by that sentence. We don't know whether other individuals have added the postscript, and this actually isn't John's writing, verses 24 and 25, or whether John is using the editorial "we." I know what I'm saying is true, and others join with me, and it is true. But regardless, the emphasis is the reliability of the witness. And finally, in verse 25, the selectivity of the witness. In other words, the witness has chosen specific things. 8 miracles that Jesus did, 7 before the cross, 1 after. And various discourses of Jesus. But Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And the Lord Jesus is still doing many things. What's he doing in your life? What do you have to share of the things that the living Christ is doing in your life as a believer today? I'm sure that in the life of Jesus, the whole world couldn't contain the books that could be written, think of the ages that have gone out, and think of the dynamic work of Jesus Christ in the life of believers of all ages. And we can say with thanksgiving today, although the world will not hold the books, eternity in the universe will, does. And in the ages to come, I believe there will be a playing back, if you will. There will be an instant replay, if you will. That which God has done is not lost. And the ages of eternity will be too short to consider and to share and to praise Him for all the things that He has done. Follow me. Are you following the Lord Jesus? If not, this morning, come to Him in that initial commitment, and then step by step, and day by day, follow Him, do business for Him, hold fast for Him. He is coming again, and it may be today. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for calling us to Yourself. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You lead us day by day. Oh God, we realize how often we turn around and we turn aside and we turn back. We sit down and don't make any progress. Forgive us, talk to us, help us. And oh God, we just do pray that whether it will be death that lies ahead of us, that we will glorify You in that death. But whether it is that glorious shout, that we will be living in such a way that will not be ashamed before You at Your coming. What a prospect. Either way, it's glory. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're all together in that wonderful moment, that shout of all eternity, calling from the grave and calling from the earth, the Lord's own. We praise You. And we do indeed want to follow on. Though none others should go with us, we want to follow as You lead each one of us specifically and individually. We thank You this morning for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.